Janie Lee Grace. Welcome to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio. Hi, and welcome to the show. As you are well aware, we love to cover a whole range of topics. But as it's autumn, I thought, wouldn't it be lovely to actually think about trees? And Cheryl Rickman is a guest that I've interviewed before. She has so many interesting, fascinating books on well-being. And I've interviewed her before when we've been chatting about the power of the mind and how we can choose our thoughts and how we can really get to grips with our own self-care and well-being. And her latest book is just beautiful, Tree Glee. I mean, you don't get a better title, do you? Cheryl Rickman is an author and a positive psychology practitioner. Cheryl, it's so fantastic to talk to you. You're so prolific. I love your books. And this one, oh man, it's just honestly, it's such a beautiful book. Tree Glee, How and Why Trees Make Us Feel Better. Tell us how you came to write this book. It's not quite the same as your others. You know, what brought this about?
Thank you. Yeah. Oh, it was such a joy. As you know, as someone who loves nature, it was just such a joy to go and research it and find out more, because I knew the impact that trees have on me and just nature generally, going outdoors. You know, from the other books I've written, I knew the benefits of being in green space, but I really wanted to understand why and get to some of the science behind it. But the way it came about was I'd kind of had all these different experiences. So for example, my daughter went to forest school not all the time. She just sort of did it, so I think it was, this is going back nearly a decade now, but she just sort of, when they were starting out forest schools, and yeah, I just reading up on the benefits of letting children play outside. Obviously, you know, generational change.
Yeah.
You know, reading the statistics about the fact that I think it's prisoners get more exercise, outdoor exercise, than children.
Yeah, it's astonishing, isn't it? Didn't I read that you said something like the average adult spends something like 90% of their time indoors?
Yeah, it's about 93. Yeah, we are now.
Wow.
We're not only an urban species, because sort of so much of the world, we officially became urban species, I think it was in 2000, and 4 billion people live in cities. So not only that, but also, yeah, 90 to 93% of time is spent indoors. I think 6% is in cars. So much time spent in front of a screen. I think it's even more time is spent, it depends on your job, obviously, but more time is spent in front of screens than sleeping.
Wow.
It's kind of crazy.
Oh, my goodness. If only I could say I wasn't guilty of all of that.
I know. And I'm an author. I sit in front of a screen often. But I think the key is to just get outside, even for 20 minute periods. Mm. And, you know, I ended up writing this book because I knew this, the statistics to do with children, and I know that I think it was a few years ago now, about 4 or 5 years ago, I ran a campaign called Operation Outdoor for my local school. So we built loads of, did loads of fundraising. We did a little festival called Tree Fest, and we raised money to build outdoor classrooms. Mm. So that rather than just the four walls of the school and sitting down for long periods of time indoors, some of the lessons could be taken outdoors. And really, children really loved that. I mean, the novelty of it obviously was great, but that I think was the kickstarter to my journey towards writing this. And then we had the opportunity rather than buy our dream house, we bought a bit of land, and it had a bit of woodland. So I then had to learn quite quickly a bit more about how to manage trees, and that was fascinating. But yeah, the main sort of driver was the scary statistics that we just spoke about, but also just knowing that trees and nature and water are out there, you know, free of charge. You know, you can go to the gym and you can do all these other things that cost money, which is great, But, you know, your breath and nature are out there for free.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I know that a couple of years ago, I think about 3 years ago, I went on a retreat. And it was fabulous. It was, you know, sort of in the countryside. And they offered us a forest bathing session on this retreat. I looked at the kind of the itinerary, and it said, you know, meet at wherever at 1 o'clock or something like that. And it said finishes 5 p.m. And I remember thinking, blimey, that's a long time. I mean, I like trees and everything, but come on. Actually, oh my God, it was a proper forest bathing experience. Yes. It was fantastic. It will all be the stuff you know. But I got to, I think, probably for the first time in my life, properly connect with trees, properly connect. So you actually have that conversation with a tree.
Yeah. You know,
people who haven't done any of this will be thinking, what is she on about now? But seriously, it was amazing. Anyway, so tell us a bit about trees then, and how, you know, your strap line, how and why trees make us feel better. How can they make us feel better?
Yeah, so many different ways. I mean, I think it was William Wordsworth said, trees provide relief from the fever of the world. Mm. So obviously that's the first part of it. It's that escape from what we're used to. We're used to being indoors now. We don't spend time in nature like we used to, like our ancestors do. So it can just provide that relief. But like you just touched on there, forest bathing, I mean, that is immersing yourself in nature and for many hours. But even just 20 minutes has been shown, sort of 2 hours a week, if you added sort of 20 minutes a day, in green space, it just does our heads and our hearts good. So it's kind of like this natural neural medicine. There's so many different elements to it. So the mental and physical benefits, you know, trees release these essential oils called phytoncides, which we inhale them if you're walking through woodland, but also they sort of go in via our pores as well. And what they are, they're actually trees actually are, it's their defense mechanism. So they're sort of pushing them out there, we breathe them in. And what that does, it actually reduces stress and our production of stress hormone cortisol.
So how cool is that?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltz know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltz, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltz. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Brilliant. It's just like, oh, here's just a little free tool that can help automatically de-stress you.
I'll point something out and it will make you feel better.
It's amazing. So not only, you know, they give us the oxygen that we breathe in, but they also help, you know, do that. They calm our nervous system and heart rate. They, you know, you can improve your concentration and memory. Even there's been studies about sleep. People who've spent, they've made them walk in an urban setting and then walk in a tree-based setting and slept longer and deeper. Other like physical stuff like reducing blood sugar levels and even boosting cardiovascular health. And even stuff like a study a long time ago, actually showed that even looking out of a hospital window at a tree, at a view of trees, so you weren't even actually outdoors with them, meant that you recovered quicker from operation and all these kinds of things. But what I wanted to do was go a bit deeper. So we know that, you know, it slows us down, it calms us, but why does it do that? And obviously you have to read the book to get the real finer points, but there's a couple of really interesting things. For example, like the colour green is really comforting to us because it's in the middle of our spectrum of sight, but also when we see trees, it's sort of our evolutionary wiring kicks in. Because it reminds us, oh, shelter. It reminds us, oh, they're safe. They give us comfort because they remind us that they provide shelter. But also, often if we saw green or trees, it could mean that there might be water nearby. And if there was water nearby, there was food. So it's kind of like our survival, our ancestral memory of survival. Yeah. When we see trees, we just feel comforted. And I love that. I love that. That we've got this inbuilt memory that remembers that.
So, I think also that just actually being around trees, particularly if you are in a forest or you're near like amazing big trees, it does give you that sense of perspective again. It's like, okay, these guys are really solid and really important, and I'm quite little and insignificant.
It does. It really does. It does give you that sense of perspective. It also can, when you do connect with them, it can give you a sense of belonging, like you are part of this planet. And I think that was really helpful for the pandemic. During the pandemic, I think people connected with nature and found that a comfort. And it also, I mean, as part of the book, I did three sections. So it's appreciation, so we appreciate what they do for us, connection and ways to connect, and then reciprocation, how we can actually give back to the trees that give us so much, and that sort of cyclical kind of relationship that we can have. Yeah, they are awesome. And awe, of course, as I've written in previous books, awe is an amazing positive emotion. That makes us feel good. But even there's been studies that have shown people have more pro-social behavior and are kinder when they've been exposed to awe, whether it's a sunset or gazing up at a big tree, compared to looking up at tall buildings. They've done these studies
absolutely
there. It just makes us feel good in so many ways. It really is incredible.
So just give us a couple of, a tip or two from each section then. Obviously, appreciation, you know, go and appreciate trees, I guess, is it in a nutshell, isn't it? Actually go and immerse yourself in the wonder of them.
Yeah, and also the sensory side of things. So obviously, you know, what we tend to do is we live busy lives. So we think, oh yeah, I'll go for a walk. So we'll take the dog, or we'll put our headphones in, or or go with friends, which is good. I mean, I do advise going on woodland walks with friends. But also, if you can go on your own somewhere where there's trees and really connect by sort of paying attention to what you can smell as much as what you can see. You know, that kind of woody, lemony aroma is comforting. There's even something I've done. You can actually buy this Japanese hinoki cypress oil, which is basically like the smell of pine forests. For me personally, I definitely I found it as helps me sleep. Or helps me get to sleep. I think it's because it's that similar scent that is comforting. So there's been studies about that. But also the Mycobacterium vaccae that's in soil, which is like the woodland floor, you kind of get, especially after it's rained.
Yeah.
The chance to go for a woodland walk after it's rained is often the best time, because you really get that smell. And that releases oxytocin and serotonin and all the kind of good feel good, you know, anxiety decreasing, well-being boosting things. But appreciation, so many things apart from just kind of thinking about or finding out about all the everything we get from trees. So it's not just, the wood and the timber that builds houses and everything else, but even things like aspirin, lots of drugs to help with all kinds of diseases come from trees. So yeah. Sort of when you sort of unearth how much they give to us, and then also things like noise pollution, and living in a city, if you have urban trees lining your streets, actual pollution, air pollution, they're really, you know, prolific at taking all of that. So I think, yeah, it's, we all know that gratitude is good for well-being, and if we yes. can focus on what we have rather than what we don't have or what we yeah. really want, you know, just yeah. taking a few minutes every now and again. I write a list of delight of just ordinary things that delight me, whether it's a softness.
Yeah, I love that. Blessings or, and yeah, lovely.
Just the smell of coffee in the morning or yeah. whatever. But
I think that's one of the, just as an aside there, just to yeah. interrupt you, sorry. I think when people are first making behavior change, you know, when they're stopping drinking, for example,
yes.
and they feel really very raw and very chaotic, and their thoughts are just constantly on what they can't have, you know, we've yeah. all been there. It's so powerful just to, as you say, just focus on the little things, focus on the delights, actually start to enjoy little things. And at the beginning, you have to kind of force yourself, you know, it doesn't yeah. come naturally to us.
That's
but
right.
once we get into the habit of it, it's incredible. And we can actually go through a walk, you know, go for a walk and notice, you know, a bird high up in a tree or whatever, which probably when we were drinking, kind of walking along, feeling really pissed off that we're hungover, annoyed with ourselves, you don't yeah. notice those little things. I do think it is those little things that make such a massive difference.
Yeah, and you know, when you do, I mean, I'm sure you'll have, the people who listen to your podcast will find when you, if you give up a habit, you know, whether it's overeating or drinking, and you just have that sense of energy, that renewed sense of energy, you yeah. also do then notice more. I think it just kind of your head feels clearer, so yeah. you just notice the beauty of very small things that are just ordinary. Yeah. And that's
definitely
really important, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. What yeah. about the connection piece then?
Connection, apart from sort of going out into the woodlands and connecting, something I've done, well, obviously forest bathing. If you can get a chance to try forest bathing, which is usually a good 2 hours minimum. Obviously not everyone has the time to do this, but I would definitely recommend it, because like you say, that is deep connection.
Yeah, really is.
The tree. But for me, something that I found when I've been running kind of forest bathing exercises is this kind of sense of breathing with the tree, where you kind of literally go and find a tree and just stand next to it or sit down next to it. And also, no one really needs to know what you're doing, because all you're doing is sitting down or standing by a tree. But you then can sort of literally go with the cycle of breath. So sort of inhale in, but really consciously think, oh my gosh, I'm actually breathing in the oxygen that this tree is giving out. And then when I breathe out, it's taking in the carbon and storing that, and that's really helpful for the environment.
Right.
And just sort of going through the motions of inhaling and exhaling.
So you're literally giving and receiving, which is fabulous. Yeah.
Which is this symbiotic relationship. And you just feel, just even just doing that for, I don't know, even a few minutes, you do just feel this connection with this tree, which is really good. And then you can kind of develop a kind of bit of a sense of gratitude and, thank the tree, even if you're doing it in your head and you're not sort of saying it out loud. You don't literally have to hug a tree, although it does give you that oxytocin boost. But yeah, that's one way. And the other thing is this noticing. So I've been doing this 100 days of trees hashtag, which is a long time, so I don't expect everybody to do that, but even like 7 days.
Yeah.
And what you can do is you can either think of a prompt, whether it's texture or colour or like the colour yellow or whatever it is, or you can think about how your day's gone and go and find a tree or something to do with a tree that connects to that, to what's happened. So say if you've had a bit of a blustery day, just generally, because it's been all up and down, you could sort of take a photo of trees blowing in the wind or whatever. So what that's done for me, because I'm doing over 100 days, is it's helped me kind of record and reflect what's been going on in my own life, but also tie it to what's happening in the outside world, and gets me outside and noticing a lot more. So that's something we can do. And the other thing is the sit spot. If you sit for long enough, just very perfectly still, it's something that that we used to do, different cultures have done this. But nature, at first, kind of the birds fly away, and you know, you hear their warning signals, or there's somebody there. And then eventually, if you sit there long enough, they kind of just carry on, and then you'll notice things that wouldn't have happened, you know, when you're just going about your day. So that's another thing. But yeah, there's lots of different things. And also, in the book, I talk about I've spoken to you about before in terms of positive psychology, there's the pillars of well-being, which I've obviously called branches of well-being.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, there's different things we can do for each of those, whether it's to develop awe and gratitude, or to develop our relationships with others, like sitting around a campfire and storytelling and going camping in woodlands and things like that. And even doing vitality, you know, actually going and doing Tai Chi or yoga, or sort of doing a workout, or going for our run in woodlands, you know, because you're getting a double whammy, because you're breathing in the essential oils and so on. Yeah, so all of these different things, there's lots of different ways we can connect more deeply.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer, life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And then when you talk about the reciprocation, I mean, I know we've touched on it to a little bit, but what about the whole, you know, sustainability? I mean, am I right in thinking that, I mean, trees really kind of sort out the whole climate change kind of stuff, or climate control rather, almost on their own, don't they? If we just let them get on with it. I think, you know, often, I don't know if people realise sometimes that, you know, you get sort of floods and all kinds of issues in areas where trees are just kind of chopped down willy-nilly. You know, they're so important and on so many levels, aren't they?
Yeah, and you don't realize, I mean, like you say, flooding, that's caused because trees have been cut down. They can stop flooding. Obviously we know all about the sort of the how they store carbon, and that's why it's really important. I definitely find in life, in every area, balance is so important. And so it also is true that balancing the protection of trees with the planting, because obviously there's lots of initiatives at the moment. The Queen's Green Canopy, for example, is one where it's all about sort of planting trees for Her Majesty and in Her Majesty's honour. And it was for the Jubilee. But So there's lots of local kind of tree planting initiatives, but obviously making sure that you do that correctly and have.
You've probably heard of Tree Sisters, have you?
Yeah, Tree Sisters
are great. They do amazing work.
Really, really good initiative. There's lots of different initiatives, and that's great to get involved with because of it boosts your relationships, and supportive relationships is good for well-being. But you're giving back. But as well as that, and there are lots of things to remember with planting trees, like planting during October to March, making sure there's a diversity of trees you're planting, and making sure they're native and that they're not too close together, not sheltered by other trees. But the other thing is protection of the trees that are already there. And so not just going, oh, that's blocking my light a little bit, I think we're going to chop that down. Actually protecting these trees, that because it does take a long time. It's like a good 40 years before a tree really starts to mature. So, you know, that's quite a long time if you're going to plant a tree, depending on the type of tree. But really protecting our ancient woodlands and making sure we don't just chop them down, like you say, willy-nilly. They do so much good. And then there's loads of other things we can do to reciprocate, like in terms of our consumption. You know, obviously we need trees for certain things like timber. I mean, it's even the fact, you know, I've written a book, and books use paper, and that comes from trees. So it's kind of, there's that irony. So I had to sort of thank the trees for doing this, but usually it's from sustainable sources. So it's books are from trees that are planted specifically to make paper and so on. Rather than like old growth forests, which you would never cut down to make books or anything. It's actually more sustainable forests. Forestry England, for example, it's all about trees are more sustainable than as a resource than plastic. So they're just a better resource. But in terms of consumption, you know, there's things like eating less meat, you know, because lots of deforestation, and the reason why a lot of trees are cut down in the first place is for agriculture, for animals. And so therefore, I mean, I do eat meat, but I don't eat it as much as I used to. So I've just cut down by quite a lot. And also just checking things like whether they've got palm oil in them, checking, you know, we've got into the habit now a lot of the time of looking at ingredients and different things. So just checking for that. And yeah, doing things that, you know, moving to paperless options if you can, unsubscribing from things if you can get the digital version sometimes, or lots of different things. So I've got all kinds of tips to do with what we can do to reciprocate and give back to trees, also how we can kind of connect and just appreciate them and boost our well-being as a result of spending time with them, really.
Yeah, I love it. If anyone is literally kind of tuned into this and they didn't maybe catch the beginning and they're thinking, hold on a minute, have I got the right podcast? Can you just sum up for us, you know, while we get back onto, you know, the topic that we all want to know about, which is how can we feel better? Just sum up for us then, again, sort of why and how tree connecting with trees and appreciating trees can be so beneficial for our mental health and well-being.
It's just they really calm us, they restore our energy, but also they restore our ability to think, our cognitive functioning is better, our concentration, our memory, probably the best thing of all that trees do is they really calm our nervous system, slow our heart rate, and give us this opportunity to feel calm. And we all know that is nourishing, and that makes us feel better. And also, when you feel that way, when you're calm, you're better able to problem solve. So if you have got loads of stuff going on and you're like, oh God, I don't have time to go out and spend some time with trees, I've got all these problems and all these things I'm doing, actually you'll be mentally better able to figure out solutions to problems or whatever you're worrying about if you go and spend time with trees. So it's it's definitely a worthy thing to do, to go down to the woods.
Yeah, brilliant. Cheryl, thank you so much. It's just a lovely, lovely book. I absolutely love it. I'm really looking forward to digging into all the little tips of how you can be more tree. I love that.
thank you
so much for being my guest. It's Tree Glee, How My Trees Make Us Feel Better. Cheryl Rickman, I really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Janie. It's brilliant.
Thank you, Cheryl. We'll make sure all of those notes go up about the book. If you go to thesoberclub.com, you'll be able to find some information there. I'm also going to write a piece on the magic of trees and how trees make us well, and obviously promote Cheryl's book in the next issue of Hola Sober magazine. I think some of you probably heard my interview with Susan from Hola Sober, just such an inspirational woman. Hola Sober is a free magazine for anyone who's sober curious or maybe ditched the booze ages ago and now just wants to focus on living their best lives without the booze. I had another chat, interestingly enough, with Susan on my podcast. You might want to check it out on Alcohol Free Life podcast. I know I'm going off topic from trees, but I had a really interesting chat with Susan about routines and rituals, and we were talking about the importance of self-care, and we were absolutely talking about the importance of grounding and just being able to be in nature, like some of the stuff that Cheryl was saying, how different it makes you feel when you're able to just step onto the earth and just feel your feet on the earth. It's just incredibly grounding and makes such a difference. And then the other thing that Susan was sharing was that she has a little morning routine where she lights a candle and she focuses on her ancestors and, you know, how powerful it is that she is now at the forefront, if you like. She is in this space. And I thought it was just really, really powerful stuff. And then we got into a conversation about family constellations. So again, you've probably heard one of the shows that I've done with about family constellations. I did an interview with an amazing guy called Mark Wolin. The book is It Didn't Start With You. Really amazing, fascinating book about how so much of who we are is held in cellular memory, and the really astonishing fact that basically we were born from an egg in our grandmother's womb. It's quite a thing when you think about it like that. So yes, ancestors are important. I also did an interview with Rafe Nauen on family constellations, and another with Carl Dawson on matrix reimprinting. So you can see this is something I'm absolutely fascinated about. I really am. And in fact, I'm going to be co-hosting a workshop on family constellations on the 6th of November in Hertfordshire. So if you're able to check that out, please do. It's quite life-changing work. It's really difficult to describe a family constellations workshop. I think it's very difficult to do it justice when you try to explain exactly what it is. But it really can be quite life-changing, and you can find yourself leaving that occasion. It's been called a spa day for the soul, which I think is a really lovely way of describing it. And people often leave feeling as though they have so much more openness and compassion for others, for their friends, for their family, for their own children, perhaps. And I think it's this whole thing of, you know, those of us who do have children, there can be this sense of, oh my goodness, have I really messed them up? I remember thinking that when I first went to family constellations, I was so concerned as to quite what have I done, you know, with my own kids. But the reality is, the more work that you do, the less they have to do. And I really see that now. It's not that we can take back, we can't go back in time and go back over all the mistakes, in inverted commas, that we've made and the ways that we wish that we might have parented differently. But we can absolutely treat ourselves with compassion, and we can really set an example, I think, and by changing things at an energetic level, which is what Family Constellations is able to do, it can really result in an amazing resolve, an amazing sense of completion and closure, even when there was none. You probably think, what's she waffling on about? You'll have to go and have a look at one of the articles that I've written about family constellations. I have tried to explain it. It really isn't the easiest thing to do. I wrote my first article about family constellations for Spirit and Destiny magazine about 10 years ago, 9 or 10 years ago. And the editor just kept sending it back and saying, I don't understand. What do you mean that there's something in the field? Is the person acting? What do you mean? And I, in the end, just had to send the article back and say, yes, in a sense, there is something magical about it. And it's very difficult to explain. But that's the best I can do, is to try to inspire you to check out Family Constellations if you get the chance. And if you're interested in our workshop, it's myself and trauma expert Ralph Nowen. And our workshop is Sunday, the 6th of November. It's in Hertfordshire, a train around 25 minutes from London Euston out to Hertfordshire. And it's a very special day. So do check that out. If you go to thesoberclub.com, click on events, you'll find all of the information there that you need. Or you can always find me on social media. You can drop me a message. Always interested to know any suggestions that you have for these shows as well. I'm always very open. We cover so many different topics, as I'm sure won't have escaped your notice. I'm really passionate about anything to do with holistic living, health and well-being, whether that's physical or emotional, then I'm really interested to cover it. So please find me on social media at Janie Lee Grace. You can find me on Instagram and on Facebook and on Twitter at Janie Lee Grace, or go to thesoberclub.com, check out that events page, and you'll find a link there to the Family Constellations workshop, and also at some point a piece and an article about Cheryl Rickman, who was my guest today. I will look forward to seeing you same time. Don't forget, let me know who you would like me to interview or what you'd like me to chat about. Sometimes listeners come up with some amazing ideas and even get to introduce me to someone that, you know, I can get on the podcast. So perhaps if you've got links to someone, or there's someone that you think would be a great guest, or perhaps an author, then feel free to let me know. I'd absolutely love to check out your suggestions. I will see you next time. You've been listening to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio.